Hello and welcome to Science World. Astronomers have announced the discovery of a planet where it is not too hot or not too cold for liquid water on the surface, which could mean it would be a world with life-friendly conditions. After examining a photo of a bright protrusion on the edge of one of Saturn's outer rings, scientists are now thinking that the ringed planet may be creating a new moon. And physicists working with CERN's Large Hadron Collider in Switzerland announced this week that they have confirmed the existence of a new and mysterious subatomic particle called a tetraquark hadron. We'll talk with one of the lead authors of a paper that details this discovery. These stories and more are coming up for you on VOA's Science, Health, and Technology magazine, Science World. Not too big, not too small, not too hot, not too cold. A newly discovered planet looks just right for life as we know it, according to an international group of astronomers. Steve Barragona has more.
Orbiting a star about 500 light-years away, the planet called Kepler-186f is about the same size as Earth. It orbits its star at the right distance for liquid water on the surface. That's an essential condition for life as we know it. But it's not exactly like Earth, NASA planetary scientist Elisa Quintana said via Skype.
It's more of an Earth's cousin. So it's not an Earth's twin. It shares the same characteristics as Earth, but their parent stars are very different.
Kepler-186f orbits a star that is smaller and cooler than our sun. But writing in the journal Science, the astronomers say the planet appears to be a closer relative than most of the hundreds of others discovered so far. Some are massive gas-covered giants with thick, crushing atmospheres. Others orbit too closely to their stars and are too hot for life. Two planets discovered last year are in the right orbit and might be good candidates for life, Quintana says, but they're a bit bigger than Earth.
For the first time, we can actually say that we now have a planet that is both Earth-sized and in orbits in its star's habitable zone.
It may be the first time, but it probably is not the last, says Massachusetts Institute of Technology astrophysicist Sarah Seeger. She spoke to VOA via Skype.
We've been waiting for a decade or decades to understand how common habitable planets might be, and it's looking like they're really common. And this gives us excitement and motivation to take the next step.
The next step would be to look for traces of life in the atmospheres of these distant worlds. That would take a more sophisticated space telescope. But budget cuts threaten that mission, says University of California at Los Angeles astrophysicist Ben Zuckerman in this Skype interview.
In principle, we could do this in the next couple of decades, but in practice, because there's no money, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen in my lifetime, for example.
Leaving Earthbound concerns behind, NASA's Elisa Quintana believes that when the Next Generation Space Telescope is launched, it will find that we are not alone in the universe.
I guess I'm an optimist. I think that life is definitely out there. I mean, just looking at the abundance of stars, I mean, hundreds of billions of stars, the likelihood that one of them might have some form of life, to me, seems rather high, but everyone has their own opinion about that, I'm sure.
In the meantime, the search continues for other worlds where life may find a home. Steve Barragona, VOA News, Washington.
Mobile phone thefts are on the rise in the U.S., but not for long, as owners may soon be able to remotely lock a stolen phone and erase all of its data. Science World's Doug Bernard has more.
The five largest mobile phone service providers in the country, along with major manufacturers including Apple, Google, Samsung, Microsoft, Motorola, and Nokia, have signed an agreement that will effectively eliminate the benefits to cell phone thieves. According to a statement by the CTIA, the wireless industry's largest trade organization, all smartphones manufactured for sale in the U.S. after July 15 will be equipped with a system for remotely erasing all data and making them useless without the proper password. Thieves will also not be able to reset the phone. All deleted data would be retrievable, however, if the owner gets the phone back. This so-called kill switch, according to the trade group, will be installed on all smartphones free of charge. Previously, some cell phone service providers resisted introduction of a kill switch, fearing that hackers could exploit the feature, but later reversed their stand under pressure from the public and some lawmakers. Apple and a few other manufacturers already offer features that let owners prevent reactivation of their stolen phones. For Science World, I'm Doug Bernard.
In yet another step to bring the Internet to the whole world, the web giant Google has acquired a manufacturer of solar-powered drones that can stay in the air almost indefinitely, relaying broadband Internet connections to remote areas. George Putich reports.
Even as it experiments with self-driving cars on the ground, Google has been acquiring companies that manufacture pilotless flying vehicles, aircraft that can stay aloft for very long periods of time, such as solar-powered balloons and drones. The Internet giant aims to bring web access to remote areas of the world, which it says could help speed disaster relief or monitor environmental damage. And it says atmospheric satellites could also provide high-resolution aerial images for its Google Earth service. Its newest acquisition, the 20-employee New Mexico-based company Titan Aerospace, plans to manufacture a larger version of its successful solar-powered drone Solara. Chief Technical Officer Maximus Janey says it will be as efficient as a satellite, but much less expensive to operate, just 1/100 of the cost.
What we're focusing on from a capability perspective is being able to provide these kinds of services as an alternate or adding to satellite platform capabilities.
He says the new drone, Solara 50, will be able to fly almost 20 kilometers above the Earth, providing the Internet signal in a radius of almost 420 kilometers and stay aloft for almost 5 years.
Solar powered, you have the capability of staying up there effectively indefinitely. You're simply limited by the rechargeable batteries.
Other technology companies are also interested in the potential of drones. Earlier this year, internet-based giant Facebook acquired the British drone manufacturer Ascenta, while the internet retail company Amazon is experimenting with drones for package deliveries. George Putich, VOA News, Washington.
In a few minutes from now, we'll be hearing from one of the lead authors of a new study that outlines the discovery of a new and unique subatomic particle that is defying the traditional models of physics. So, with subatomic particles in mind, here's today's Science World Quick Quiz. Of the following basic, well-known particles that make up an atom, which one has a negative electrical charge? Is it A, protons, B, neutrons, or C, electrons? Think about it. Good luck. We'll give you the correct answer in a few minutes from now.
You're listening to Science World, VOA Science, Health, and Technology News Magazine.
A new UN report released this week warns that the world must switch from fossil fuels to cleaner energy sources to control the effects of climate change. Roseanne Skirbel has the details.
The solution to the climate problem could start with this, a massive solar project in California's Mojave Desert. It began operation in February and will provide enough power for 140,000 homes, says NRG Energy President David Crane.
Our generation of leadership can get the ball rolling in fighting against climate change so that the next generation, the people who are in their 20s and 30s today, can finish the job, then we will have done the best that we can do to get this going.
That kind of action must be taken on a global scale, says Rajendra Pachauri, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change chairman.
So there is, if we really want to bring about a limitation of temperature increase to no more than 2 degrees Celsius, then this is the message that comes out very clearly from this report.
The report says global greenhouse gas emissions must be cut by 40% to 70% by mid-century to avoid devastating effects from severe weather in a warmer world. But solutions are within reach, says Nathaniel Cohen, who leads international efforts to address climate change for the Environmental Defense Fund. He spoke via Skype.
There are a handful of things around energy efficiency, renewable energy, reducing deforestation, and a handful of things that the world could do, and we could help turn the corner by 2020 and get on track to reduce emissions enough to keep the climate safe.
Renewable energy sources like solar, wind, and hydropower account for 8.5% of the world energy output and 20% if nuclear is added to the mix. However, Cohen says a gulf exists between international efforts and what needs to be done to make the switch from fossil fuels to cleaner energy.
When you look at the stats and the data in the report, it shows, for example, that coal has been growing faster than other sources. So we need to reverse that trend, and we do need to rapidly ramp up the sources of renewable power, the share of renewable power.
The report finds that the longer the delay in controlling emissions, the greater the cost to public health and the environment. Cohen says voters must tell their governments that climate change matters.
We need to get on top of it. But the optimism comes from knowing that if we do get that political will and if we can push in that direction, that we have the technologies to get started on this problem. We just need everybody to pitch in.
The report says a window of opportunity remains for the world community to act. UN negotiators are working on a new international agreement to curb global emissions to replace the Kyoto Protocol on climate change, which expired in 2012. Roseanne Skirbel, VOA News, Washington.
Astronomers from around the world are hoping that a newly released image from the far reaches of our solar system is the never-before-seen birth of a new moon. Science World's Bob Doty has more.
NASA's spacecraft Cassini, in orbit around Saturn, sent a photo of a bright protrusion on the edge of one of the planet's outer rings. It may be a gravitational disturbance caused by a small moon, tentatively named Peggy. The mysterious feature, which is about 20% brighter than the material that surrounds it, is estimated to be 1,200 kilometers long and 10 kilometers wide. But it could have been caused by a much smaller moon, only 800 meters across. Although excited about the possibility of studying the process of a moon formation, astronomers warn that the disturbance could have been caused by the breakup of an overlooked moon. Saturn has more than 150 moons and moonlets. In 2 years, Cassini will pass much closer to the area with the gravitational disturbance, giving astronomers an opportunity for a closer observation. For Science World, I'm Bob Doty.
Using the world's highest mountain, Mount Everest, as an outdoor laboratory, a group of British researchers has identified a mechanism involved in the development of adult-onset diabetes. Experts say the findings could lead to development of treatments to prevent the disease. Jessica Berman reports.
At more than 8,800 meters above sea level, Mount Everest in Nepal is the world's highest mountain. Climbers require supplemental oxygen because the air is so thin. Hypoxia, or lack of oxygen, is a risk factor for the onset of type 2 diabetes. So researchers with the Mount Everest Project sought to identify the mechanisms by which low oxygen levels contribute to disease in patients who are critically ill with diabetes. Mike Grocut, a professor of anesthesia and critical care medicine at Southampton University, led the study, which began at an Everest base camp 5,300 meters above sea level. The expedition included about 200 climbers, but Grocut says researchers focused on 24 individuals who underwent assessments of glucose control, body weight changes, and inflammation biomarkers. The measurements were taken 6 weeks and again at 2 months. months. Eight climbers then continued their trek to the peak. In the low-oxygen environment, Grocott says the participants' insulin levels began to rise, indicating their bodies were becoming insulin-resistant. There also was an increase in biomarkers of inflammation and oxidative stress, or cellular damage, similar to what's seen in people with type 2 diabetes. On the ground, Grocott says the findings suggest treatments might be developed to prevent the disease.
Helping to control the tendency towards diabetes may be interventions that are focusing on either the development of oxidative stress or this inflammation.
In an article published in the journal PLOS ONE, investigators report the abnormal biomarkers caused by the extreme altitude were reversed once the participants came off the mountain. Many people who develop diabetes suffer from sleep apnea, in which their airways become obstructed, sometimes hundreds of times per night.
That is likely to predispose them to certainly intermittent hypoxia during sleep. And that may be something that is contributing towards this tendency to develop type 2 diabetes.
Grocott says investigators are now comparing the climbers, most of whom were Caucasian, to the Sherpa to see whether genetic differences protect the indigenous Nepalese population from diabetes. Jessica Berman, VOA News, Washington.
Do you think you have the right answer to this week's quick quiz? Well, let's find out. A few minutes ago, we asked, of the following three basic well-known particles that make up an atom, which one has a negative electrical charge? A, protons, B, neutrons, or C, electrons? The answer is C. Electrons circle the core or nucleus of the atom, and it carries a negative electrical charge. Of the two particles that form the nucleus, protons have a positive electrical charge, while neutrons have no electrical charge. It's said that neutrons help hold the protons together in the atom's nucleus, since those positively charged particles are always pushing away or repelling from each other. Thanks for playing along with us on this week's Science World Quick Quiz. We'll have another brain teaser for you again next week.
Thanks for listening to VOA Science, Health, and Technology News Magazine, Science World.
Scientists working with the Large Hadron Collider at the European Organization for Nuclear Research, or CERN, in Geneva, Switzerland, recently confirmed the existence of a new class of subatomic particles that is so unique that it cannot be classified within the traditional models of physics. The confirmation of this new subatomic particle could lead to the discovery of even more exotic particles, which scientists say would take the science of physics into a previously unknown dimension. As the name suggests, subatomic particles are the very tiny bits of matter that make up the atoms, which are the building blocks for everything that exists in the universe. The recently confirmed composite particle, which was discovered in 2007, is known as Z 4430. Today, on our one-on-one segment, we talk with one of the lead authors of a paper that outlines this new finding. Tomasz Skwarnicki, a physics professor at Syracuse University, joins us to give us a quick overview of some of the science behind subatomic particles, what the research team found, and why this new discovery is important. Can we please start off with a bit of a primer concerning some subatomic particles? I know, for example, that protons, neutrons, and electrons are the three main subatomic particles found in an atom. Now, what are some of the others that we may not be so familiar with?
Particle physicists like myself have discovered many other particles, But let me come back from the ones that you mentioned. As you correctly spelled out, we are made mostly out of protons, neutrons, and electrons. Over the last 50 years or so, physicists understood that protons and neutrons are not elementary, but they consist of free quarks inside. So this creates a class of particles made out of quarks called baryons. Later, we discovered in cosmic rays and man-made experiments at particle colliders that also quark antiquark can create particle, and this is called a meson. And we know many mesons. So for 50 years, a working hypothesis was that particles made out of quarks come either as groups of three, and they are called baryons, or as quark antiquark pairs, and these are called mesons. Our recent observation confirms mounting evidence that quarks can also create particles by groups of four quarks. To be more exact, two quarks and two antiquarks.
Speaking of quarks, let's get to know a little bit about that, since it seems like those particular subparticles play a large role. What does a quark do?
Well, quark, as far as we can tell, is a very elementary particle. It doesn't have any substructure, just like electron. And the difference between quark and electron is that quark can feel, we say, strong interactions. Many people may be familiar with nuclear interactions because, in fact, forces responsible for nuclear interactions, like in nuclear reactors or atomic bombs, these are nuclear forces. Physicists call them strong. So quarks can feel strong interactions, whereas electron cannot. Electron can only feel electromagnetic interactions. And that's the main difference, but it's a big difference because these strong interactions, they force quarks to clump together very tightly to create these tiny microscopic particles, which are much smaller than nucleus of an atom.
Now, the research that your team has been conducting confirmed the existence of a new exotic subatomic particle that's been named Z4430. Now, what is this?
When it was discovered in 2007, but the evidence was clouded by two experiments not agreeing whether it really exists or not, that particle had properties which did not fit of expected ones for either free quark system or two quark system. And when physicists discover such particles, they tend to name them by last few letters of the alphabet, X, Y, Z. This explains Z. And these numbers, 4430, they stand for the mass of the particle, which happens to be about four times heavier than mass of a proton.
Why is confirming the existence of this new particle so important?
Well, it does change our thinking about structures of matter, the smallest distances that we can probe, subnuclear distances, much smaller than size of nucleus. So working theory that we has assumed for the last 50 years turned out to be incomplete. It turns out that there are also these more complicated forms made out of quarks. And this may also have implications for understanding astronomical objects that under certain conditions, such particles may play an important role, or also in the early phases of evolution of the universe, that you must have heard about Big Bang theory. Initially, all the quarks were swimming together in a soup because everything was squeezed into a very tiny space. But when the universe expanded, it cooled down. At a certain moment, these quarks started clumping together to create these particles. And now we know that also four-quark systems must be present at that time, and this may actually influence future understanding of exact evolution of the universe at that particular phase.
That was Tomasz Skwarnicki, a physics professor at Syracuse University in Syracuse, New York.
That's it for this edition of Science World. Thanks so much for listening. Before we go, we'd like to invite you to visit our new website and blog, voanews.com/science. You'll find stories, links, and much more. So stop by and visit us on the internet. Science World has been produced by Bob Doty, and I am Rick Pantaleo. Be sure to join us either online or on your radio next Saturday and Sunday as we check out the latest in science, health, and technology on Science World.